We shall now continue with our second study under the general theme, the throne of his father David. And I invite Brother Alan to come forward and address us. He shall build me a house.
So, brothers and sisters, we reach the stage where David wanted to build Yahweh a house. We go to 1 Chronicles chapter 17. It's the Chronicles record that we're going to follow through the life of David, because here we have the detail of his preparation for the building of the temple. 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 1 says, "It came to pass as David sat in his house, that David said to Nathan the prophet, Lo, I dwell in a house of cedars, but the ark of the covenant of Yahweh remaineth under curtains. Then Nathan said unto David, Do all this in thine heart, for God is with thee. But then God says no. Verse 7, Now therefore, thus shalt thou say unto thy servant David, Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, even from following the sheep, that thou shouldest be ruler over my people Israel." First of all, then, David was a shepherd. He took him from looking after the sheep, foreshadowing, of course, the good shepherd who looks after his sheep, to be ruler over my people Israel. And the word for ruler there is Nagid. Now, the word Nagid means a conspicuous leader or ruler, and is used of the kings of Israel, particularly the kings of Judah. It is used 9 times of David, and the most it's used of anybody else is 4 times. Clearly, David is the Nagid par excellence. And Jesus Christ is spoken of from time to time as a Nagid. Let's turn to the prophecy of Daniel and chapter 9. David, as a Nagid, foreshadows the Lord Jesus Christ, who was also a leader, a ruler of his people. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 24 says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin offerings, to provide a covering for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and the prophet, and to anoint the most holy. This was accomplished in the sacrifice and resurrection of the Master. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Nagid shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, and the street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. So Jesus is the Nagid, who is also the Messiah. He's anointed as the Nagid. Verse 26 says, "And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself." That word "cut off" indicates the making of a covenant. To make a covenant, in biblical terms, is to cut a covenant. And so Messiah was cut off for a covenant. And we were talking yesterday that that covenant was the new covenant. It says after 62 weeks, and that's really at the end of the 69 weeks. After that time, Messiah shall be cut off, and it would be at the end of the 70th week, we believe, that the Messiah was cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Nagid that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. So the Romans who came to destroy the city and the temple in Jerusalem were the people of the prince. Just as Nebuchadnezzar didn't realise he was working for God in the destruction of Tyre, although he wrought for me, the prophet says, and was given the 4 wages, the land of Egypt. So the Romans didn't realise that they were the people of the prince in destroying Jerusalem. But the reality that we learn from the scriptures is that they came for Christ to destroy the city and the sanctuary. So that which decayed and waxeth old vanished away. And the only way of approach is now by the new covenant. So the Nagid that David became was the leader of his people, foreshadowing the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Coming back to 1 Chronicles 17 then, and verse 11. It shall come to pass, when thy days be expired, that thou must go to be with thy fathers, that I will raise up thy seed after thee, which shall be of thy sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build me an house, and that's the subject of this address, he shall build me an house, and I will establish his throne forever. Verse 14, it's well known, the contrast between this verse and the 1st of Samuel chapter 7 and verse 16. That's part of Christadelphian lectures from time to time, that the kingdom of God is the kingdom of David, and the house of David is the house of God. Here in this verse it says in verse 14, I will settle him in mine house and my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forevermore. In Samuel, it says, in thy house and thy kingdom. So when the Master says, in my Father's house are many abiding places, he's talking about the house of David. The house of God and the house of David are one and the same. And the kingdom of God and the kingdom of David are one and the same. And so when Jesus sits on the throne of his father David, he will be ruling over the kingdom of God, which will be the kingdom of David restored. We hardly need to say that to a Christadelphian audience. But here is the point that is made in this chapter, or the two different records in Samuel and Chronicles. If you go on now to chapter 18, we see that David doesn't go off and sulk. He'd been stopped from doing what he wanted, what he dearly wanted to do. Perhaps have an opportunity to get an indication of how dearly he wanted to do it a bit later on. But in chapter 18 and verse 2, as part of the subduing of the nations around, as we saw in the pattern of the seven thunders, verse 2 says that the Moabites became David's servants and brought gifts, a mincha, a meat or meal offering, it's the same word as under the law. They brought tribute, money, value came into David's kingdom because of his conquests. Verse 4, 1,000 chariots and 7,000 horsemen and 20,000 footmen. Verse 6, the Syrians became David's servants and brought gifts, mincha. Thus Yahweh preserved David whithersoever he went. And then verse 7, it says, David took the shields of gold that were on the servants of Hadarezer and brought them to Jerusalem. We haven't really time to go through the different words for shields. Wilson says that of this particular word, it's mostly spoken of shields suspended for ornament on walls. These were shields for decoration. He took the shields of gold, solid gold, and you think of the wealth in Tutankhamun, in the tomb there. And you see here the amount of gold that's being brought into the kingdom of David for the building of the temple. Verse 8 goes on to say, likewise from various other places, they have brought very much brass, wherewith Solomon made the brazen sea and the pillars and the vessels of brass. This is where it all came from, David's conquests. So as Yahweh established the kingdom by subduing the nations around David, so he brought the wealth into the kingdom of David. Verse 10 says, he sent Hadoram, his son, to King David to inquire of his welfare, because he had fought against Hadarezer, and with him all manner vessels of gold, silver, and brass. It all accumulating in great quantities. And verse 11, them also King David dedicated, sanctified. The Hebrew word is kadash. It was separated for the purpose of the worship of Yahweh. Them also King David dedicated or sanctified unto Yahweh, with the silver and the gold that he brought from all these nations, and so on. All this store he dedicated to the work of the building of the temple. In chapter 20 and verse 2, says that David took the crown of the king of Ammon from off his head and found it to weigh a talent of gold. I should think the king of Ammon would be pretty low in his seat with that sort of weight. A talent of gold is around half a hundredweight. Solid gold. For those who think of in kilos, a 25 kilo sack of potatoes, roughly in weight on his head. And David, there were precious stones in it. It was set upon David's head. He must have been a strong man. And he brought also exceeding much spoil out of the city. See how Yahweh is working with David to prepare for the building of the temple. Chapter 21 seems an interruption to this preparation for the temple. But I hope we'll see that it's not an interruption at all. It's another stage of the preparation. Verse 1 of chapter 21 says, and Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. And in our lectures regarding Satan, we know that Satan means an adversary. And if we turn to the 2nd of Samuel chapter 24 and verse 1, we don't need to because we all know it, don't we, brethren and sisters? But there it says that Yahweh stood up against Israel and caused David to number Israel. The Yahweh was an adversary to Israel. For some reason he wanted to punish Israel. We're not told the reason. But the first reason, the first purpose that is accomplished in this chapter is the punishment of Israel according to God's purpose. It's wonderful as you go through the events recorded in the scriptures how in one event many purposes can be fulfilled. We're more interested in another of those purposes. But having numbered Israel, verse 12 says, choose thee either 3 years famine or 3 months to be destroyed before thy foes, while that the sword of thine enemies overtaketh thee, or else 3 days the sword of Yahweh, even the pestilence in the land, and the angel of Yahweh destroying throughout all the coasts of Israel. Here is a trial of David's character. Another purpose accomplished in this incident. They'd already experienced 3 years famine. In the 2nd of Samuel chapter 21, we read of, or perhaps it may have been shortly after this, but certainly around this time, they experienced 3 years famine because of what Saul had done to the Gibeonites. In Exodus chapter 10, we have a plague for 3 days. This time on the nation of Egypt. It's the ninth plague. Anybody know what the ninth plague is? Put their hand up. Don't need to shout it out. No? Good, thank you. At least some. I mean, the young people didn't. We can understand that. But we ought to know the number of the plagues. And this particular one is the plague of darkness. Exodus chapter 10 and verse 22. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. The plague that was brought upon Egypt was darkness. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. It's a contrast, isn't it? Between those outside and those in the truth. We've got outside is Egyptian darkness. But here we have light in our dwellings. And David chose to fall in the hands of God because he was a merciful God. And he would repent him of the plague that was to be brought upon them. So back in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, then the plague was stayed. And it was stayed in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And we're interested in what follows on. Verse 18. Then the angel of Yahweh commanded God to say to David that David should go up and set up an altar unto Yahweh in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. They were to go and set up an altar unto Yahweh in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite, the place where the plague was stayed. And verse 26 says, and David built there an altar unto Yahweh, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, and called upon Yahweh, and he answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar of burnt offering. Already Yahweh answers from heaven, accepting the offerings. Our God is a consuming fire, brothers and sisters, and that shall be a comfort to us, because he accepts the offerings of his people who come in the right way unto him. But for those who don't come in the right way, he's a consuming fire of destruction. I will be sanctified in those that come nigh me. But he accepted the offering of David. And verse 27, having offered the burnt offerings and peace offerings, and Yahweh commanded the angel, and he put up his sword again into the sheath thereof. The plague wasn't finally over until David had done as he was commanded. And now we see the purpose of this incident. Verse 1 of chapter 22. Then David said, this is the house of Yahweh Elohim, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel. This is the place spoken of in the book of Deuteronomy and chapter 12. It's the place that they didn't know until that time. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 5. But unto the place which Yahweh your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall ye seek, and thither shalt thou come. That word seek, incidentally, we were talking about it yesterday with Brother Bernard, is the same as enquire, that Saul enquired not. This is a diligent enquiry. The enquiring that he did was the sort of enquiring which is recorded in Genesis chapter 24, when Eliezer goes to find a wife for Isaac. He says, we'll enquire of her. Let us ask her if she'll come. A much less intense enquiry than is involved into his habitation. Shall ye seek or enquire, and thither shalt thou come. Verse 5 of Deuteronomy 12. And thither ye shall bring your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, your tithes and heave offerings of your hand, and your vows and your freewill offerings, and the firstlings of your herds and your flocks. And it's not to be a burden. The opportunity to serve Yahweh in the way that he's appointed, he's shown us the way. We should have joy in coming to him. And there shall ye eat before Yahweh your God, and ye shall rejoice in all that ye put your hand unto, ye and your households, wherein Yahweh thy God hath blessed thee. What a place of rejoicing the temple is going to be, brothers and sisters, when it's established in the kingdom. The nations coming up to rejoice in the service of their God. In the 2 Chronicles chapter 3, we read that Solomon began to build the house of Yahweh at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah. We know the connection of Mount Moriah with the sacrifice of Isaac. It was the same place. And where Yahweh appeared unto David his father, in the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. So this is the house of Yahweh Elohim. Yahweh had finally chosen the place and shown the place that he had chosen. And so the record continues in the 22nd chapter. Verse 2. David commanded to gather the strangers that were in the land of Israel, and he set masons to hew wrought stones to build the house of God. So Gentiles were involved with Israel in the preparation for the building of the temple. Masons to hew wrought stones to build the house of God. There is a figurative sense in which this is a pattern. In Isaiah chapter 51, we read of wrought stones. Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 1. Hearken unto me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek Yahweh. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn. The word hewn is the same as wrought in chapter 22 of the first of Chronicles and verse 2. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, unto the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. Both Jews and Gentiles are brought to be the seed of Abraham. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn. We are hewn stones. Wisdom hath hewed out her seven pillars, we read in Proverbs. But in Ephesians chapter 2, we have our comfort that we who were Gentiles, as we saw yesterday, strangers from the covenants of promise, that in Ephesians chapter 2, we have the comfort that having been brought nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ, we have the position, as it says in verse 19, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom also ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through Spirit. So we are being prepared for that time. Back in the 22nd chapter of 1 Chronicles, David prepared iron in abundance for the nails for the doors of the gates and for the joinings, brass in abundance without weight, cedar trees in abundance, for the Zidonians and Thyatira brought much cedar wood to David. David said, Solomon my son is young and tender, and the house that is to be builded for Yahweh must be exceeding magnifical of fame and of glory throughout all countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it. So David prepared abundantly before his death. And the detail is continued through the following chapters. Verse 13. Yahweh give thee wisdom and understanding. He's talking to Solomon. And verse 13. Then shalt thou prosper of that if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which Yahweh charged Moses with concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Dread not, nor be dismayed. Don't listen to the doubters amongst Israel. Here is courage needed for the leaders of the body to take us in the way of truth, brethren and sisters. Be strong and of good courage. And it needs strength and good courage to keep to the truth. When people are saying, well, couldn't we do it this way? Or couldn't we do it that way? Haven't you seen this? Or haven't you seen that? And seek to divert us from the way of right and truth. Let us be strong and of good courage. Dread not, nor be dismayed. Now behold, in my trouble I have prepared for the house of Yahweh 100,000 talents of gold. It's an immeasurable amount of wealth. 100,000 talents of gold, 1,000 talents of silver, brass and iron without weight, for it is in abundance. Timber also and stone have I prepared, that thou mayest add thereto. And the margin says, for in my trouble, in my poverty. This isn't poverty, brethren and sisters. If this is poverty, who wants riches? No. Brother Bernard directed my attention to this word, and it's right. In fact, the word is normally translated affliction. Let's take an example of the affliction that he talks about in the 1 Samuel chapter 1. Verse 11 says, she vowed a vow and said, O Yahweh of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid. What was the affliction of Hannah? It was that she wanted a child. It was the greatest thing in her life. She wanted a child. And if only she could have a child, she was prepared to give it to Yahweh. That's the sort of trouble that David had. He wanted to build a house. But he wasn't allowed to build that house. But what he did was to do everything he could in that direction that he was allowed to do. And so in his affliction, he prepared abundantly for the building of that house. Verse 15 of 1 Chronicles 22. Moreover, there are workmen with thee in abundance, hewers and workers of stone and timber, and all manner of cunning men for every manner of work, the gold, the silver, and the brass, the iron. There is no number. Arise, therefore, and be doing, and Yahweh be with thee. So he encourages Solomon to continue with the work. And David commanded the princes to help Solomon his son. Is not Yahweh your God with you? And so he tells everybody else to help Solomon. Work with him. We, brothers and sisters, ought to keep in the way of truth and to work with those that are going in the way of truth. Here is an encouragement for all to work with one purpose. And verse 19, the purpose is now set your heart and your soul to seek Yahweh your God. Arise therefore, build ye the sanctuary of Yahweh Elohim, to bring the ark of the covenant of Yahweh and the holy vessels of God into the house that is to be built to the name of Yahweh. And that worship associated with the new covenant of the ark that was in Zion was going to be brought into this house. This was going to be the centre of the worship of Israel, and the temple of Solomon points forward to the time of the kingdom, when it will be a house of prayer for all nations, and the nations will flow unto it to learn of Yahweh, the house of the new covenant. Chapter 23. He prepares the Levites. Verse 3. Now the Levites were numbered from the age of 30 years and upward, and their number by their poles, man by man, was 38,000, of which 24,000 were to set forward the work of the house of Yahweh, and 6,000 were officers and judges. Moreover, 4,000 were porters, and 4,000 praised Yahweh with the instruments which I made, said David, to praise therewith. David orders everything, prepares everything, including the work of the people that were to be involved in the house of Yahweh when it was established. 24,000 were to set forward the work. The word set forward means to obtain the victory or to accomplish. The Hebrew word is natsach. There is a word used in the headings of the Psalms, menetzach, which means to from the victory, that which comes from the victory. And it's translated in the headings of the Psalms, the chief musician. But here is the setting forward, the accomplishing of the work that God has. And the work that is that's spoken of here, the Hebrew word is melacha. It's related to the word for angel, messenger. People that have a mission, a work that they have been given to do. And they were going to accomplish. 24,000 were to accomplish the work of the house of Yahweh. And in John chapter 17 and verse 4, we haven't time to turn to it, we have the prayer of the Master to his Father, saying, I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. We have a work to do, brothers and sisters, in the truth, cooperating with the Father in the development of a character of godliness. And this is the order of David, preparing for the setting forward, the accomplishing of the work of God. 6,000 were officers and judges. These were lesser officials, but nevertheless they had important positions. The officers and judges were there with the children of Israel at the foot of, on Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal, when they pronounce the blessings and the cursings recorded in Joshua chapter 8 and verse 33. These two were to be there, working in connection with the worship of the temple. It says there were 4,000 porters. Now, porters aren't, in this case, aren't people that carry things, but people who keep the door. They were the people who kept the doors, the doorways of the house. It means literally keepers of the gate. And in Genesis 22 and verse 17, that word associated with this word porters is used. He shall possess the gate of his enemies. Somebody who possesses the gate decides who comes in and who goes out. This was an important work for these 4,000 Levites who were established as porters. Another word for door is the Hebrew word saf, and it means the threshold or the lip. And in Psalm 84 and verse 10, we see how David viewed the work of being a doorkeeper, a keeper of the threshold or the lip. Psalm 84 and verse 10, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. This was an important work, and it was something that David wanted to do. He'd rather do that than anything outside, and it was his desire to build that house. He wanted to be associated with it. And so he'd rather be a keeper of the gates than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. May it be, brothers and sisters, that we make sure that it is our desire to be associated with the truth than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And so there were 4,000 who praised Yahweh with the instruments which I made, said David, to praise therewith. In Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse 25, that word is translated weapons. The destruction of Babylon was accomplished with weapons. But these instruments that were used to praise Yahweh were those weapons that were used to praise him, to worship the God of Israel. And the word work in Jeremiah 50 and verse 25 is this word malachah that we saw earlier in verse 4 of this 23rd chapter. But coming back to 1 Chronicles 23 and verse 5, it says, they praised Yahweh with the instruments which I made, said David, to praise therewith. And the Hebrew word is halal, from which we get the word hallelujah. I don't like to hear the word spoken as hallelujah. The emphasis should be on Yah. What do we praise? We praise Yah. Hallelujah should be the emphasis of that word. And so David prepares all these people for the time when the temple is built. Chapter 24 records his division of the orders of priests. There were 24 of them. Brother Thomas in Eureka, talking about the 24 elders in the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation, he says, the 24 elders in the temple are before the throne, and in the temple ready for service continually. The white garments with which they have been invested indicate the priestly office of the elders. They are clothed with salvation, Psalm 132, having been raised from among the dead and invested with Holy Spirit nature, consubstantially of the same substance with the high priest sitting upon the throne. They are victor kings as well as priests, as indicated by their wreaths of gold. The crowns are stephans, not diadems, a reward for victory. Each elder is the symbol of an order, all the immortals being apportioned into 24 orders of royal priests after the type of David's divisions of the sons of Aaron into 24 orders, 1 Chronicles 24. Brother Thomas's exposition of the Apocalypse expounds the whole of the scriptures, brothers and sisters. Those of you who are not acquainted with it would do well to read it. It says that Aaron had two sons, Eleazar and Ithamar, the former name signifying God is his helper, and the latter the place of palm trees. In David's time, Zadok was the chief of Aaron's sons in the line of Eleazar, and Ahimelech of those of Ithamar. Zadok signifies the just one, and Ahimelech the brother of the king. The interpretation of these names collectively is God is Israel's helper in the place of palm trees by the just one, the fellow of the king. We've had messages made of names this week, but Brother Thomas has shown us how to do it. Such being the priestly arrangement in David's kingdom, the symbols representative of it in the restoration of the constitution, as in the days of old, are derived from its ancient polity. When the Lord Jesus shall sit upon the throne, he will sit and rule as a priest upon the throne and bear the glory. These things of David's ordering are foreshadowing the things of the kingdom. He goes on to talk more on those lines, and those of you who have Eureka around might like to take a note of the fact that it's in volume 2 in the original edition, pages 27 to 29. Chapter 25 of 1 Chronicles tells us of another arrangement of David. Moreover, David and the captains of the host separated to the service of the sons of Asa and of Heman and of Jeduthun, who should prophesy with harps, with psalteries, and with cymbals. And the number of the workmen according to the service was, of various tribes, there were such a number of them, they were divided. Verse 3, of Jeduthun, the sons of Jeduthun, Gedaliah, Zeri, Mattaniah, 6, and so on. They prophesied with a harp to give thanks and to praise Yahweh. You see how we link from the ark in Zion. Now, Brother Thomas, having spoken of the 24 elders as priests, he has this to say. But besides the 24 orders of Aaron's sons, there were, in the ecclesiastical department of David's kingdom, 24 orders of Levites, sons of Asa, Heman and Jeduthun, whom he separated for the temple service, to prophesy with harps, with psalteries, and with cymbals, to give thanks and to praise Yahweh Tzvaoth. The 24 elders represent both the priests and singers of the Ezekiel temple, which is to be built by the man whose name is the branch. Paul's scriptures from all over the place. Zechariah is pulled that phrase from. There will be 24 orders as in the days of old. Amos 9 and verse 11. Who will be harpers harping with their harps and singing a new song. Revelation 14 verses 2 and 3. Even the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Chapter 15 verses 2 to 4. What a glorious picture of the kingdom we have here, brothers and sisters. And it's not all without purpose. It's all going to be repeated. There are going to be 24 orders of priests and singers in the kingdom. And we're called to be part of it. So let's conclude by going to the 28th chapter to see how David completes his preparation for the building of the house. Chapter 28 and verse 11. Then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch and the houses thereof, and the treasuries thereof, and of the upper chambers thereof, and of the inner parlours thereof, and of the place of the mercy seat, and the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit of the courts of the house of Yahweh, and of all the chambers round about, of the treasuries of the house of God, and of the treasuries of the dedicated things. He did everything except build it. He got everything. He got the drawings there. He'd written it down. And he gave it to Solomon. Can you imagine what would have happened to the kingdom of David if Absalom or Adonijah had taken over the kingdom? He gave these things to Solomon. This was why Solomon had to rule. He was the one that was attuned to spiritual things, at least at this stage. The problem was that in his wealth he turned away. But for the time being he becomes a pattern of the kingdom at peace. And verse 19 says, "All this," said David, "Yahweh made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern." And David said to Solomon, his son, "Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be dismayed. For Yahweh Elohim, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work of the service of the house of Yahweh." It's not often in the scriptures that we have that phrase, Yahweh Elohim, apart from the first couple of chapters of the book of Genesis. This is one of those occasions. He who shall be the mighty ones. And he says, "Behold, the courses of the priests and the Levites, even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God. And they shall be with thee for all manner of workmanship, every willing, skillful man, for any manner of service. Also the princes and all the people will be wholly at thy commandment." So David prepared, as we should prepare now, for the time when the temple is built and the system of worship is established, so that we might be part of that community of kings and priests who will rule as on thrones of David's house in the kingdom soon to be established upon the earth.